Blog Talk Radio.
You know, that situation is too big for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. You need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus. Call him Lord, so Lord, 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 Lord.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, saints of the Most High God. You are tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Brown, also known as Faith Walker. We have an awesome broadcast for you tonight, full of empowerment. What this program is about is allow people in the fivefold ministry to come on and explain their mantles, their mandate, their mission, and their respectable office. Amen. So just sit back and allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister to you all tonight. We're going to go into a word of prayer, then we're going to have scripture reading and the introduction of our special guest for this evening. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you on here tonight, Lord God. I thank you that everybody is here by divine assignment, God. Lord God, we just take authority over the airways right now in the name of Jesus Christ, over everything that is not like you, God. We ask that you move mightily, God, that your people may be empowered, God. Anoint your special guest on tonight, Lord God. And Lord God, anoint us all, Lord God, and let your angels go forth in the authority of thy name, Lord God. And we just thank you on here tonight, Lord God. We come against everything that is not like you, God. Every unclean spirit, Lord God, everything that will hinder this broadcast from going forth unto the nations, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you are tuning into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. The number for tonight is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. You can definitely call anytime during this broadcast for your questions or if you have any comments that you would like to be aired on the show here tonight. Now, before we introduce our guest for this evening, we have our special guest as well, Prince Redeem. He's going to do our scripture reading, also known as Davon Nelson.
Amen, amen. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 67, starting at verse 4. It says, "O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, own God, shall bless us." Verse 7, "God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." And I had just read Psalm 67, verse 4 through verse 7. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, amen. You know, if everybody in the spirit, amen, you can kind of sense the atmosphere. So it's about kind of right, amen, that lets us know our special guest is in the spirit. But definitely, she's the author of A Successful Marriage, God's Way, Understanding God's Designs for Your Marriage and Applying It Successfully. It's a marriage book, very anointed. I met this woman of God. I met her by the anointing, amen. Didn't meet her, which is a divine appointment. That I had the honor and privilege of meeting her personally, amen, and it's definitely been a blessing to my life, and as well as others that's at the One Prophet Global Institute of the Marketplace Prophets. She's also a chauffeur, and that's what it was revealed to me, that she make a distinctive sound in the spiritual realm that caused the shifts in the lives of people that she comes in contact with. She's a mom, amen, mother of men. She has been assigned to men in this dispensation. She's a wife. She's a mother. And if I had to use one word to describe her, it would be prayer. So I guess we all reporting live from the prayer room tonight. Amen. I will bring forth at this time Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall.
God bless you.
How you doing, Prophetess?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We know you're a busy woman of God. A blessing to have you in our midst on this evening. God bless you.
I'm excited to be here, and I'm honored. I appreciate the privilege and the opportunity.
Amen, amen, amen. So we're just going to talk about your mantle. We're going to talk about your book, dealing with marriages, and we're also going to talk about your mission and everything, and just allow those who are listening via around the world, internet, and on the telephone lines across the nation just to hear more about your ministry, your book, and the things that the Lord has given you to charge in these last days. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you, when did God charge you with your prophetic mantle?
I've always had it. You know, the gifts of God are evident before we come to the knowledge of them, or we come to understand even that we have them. But I've always been sensitive to what's going on with other people, knowing things, but it wasn't truly activated until I really dedicated my life back to God, which was around about 2000, I like to say, when I got saved for real this time. You know, had been in the line a couple times, you know, had been on the altar a couple times, but this time I really realized I need a Savior. And when I made that commitment to represent Him, then the prophetic mantle just almost overtook me. I just began to know things, began to hear His voice, and it's been amazing. But it was when I made a commitment to Him that the prophetic mantle really just was more clear and more potent, if I can say it that way.
Amen. Now, your ministry is known for being a real ministry for real people. A real ministry for real people. How critical that you believe that is in this particular point in time, that so many ministries are not being transparent, are not being real with the people that are hurting?
Well, when one of the first things that, I mean, I sought the Lord early, and I said, Lord, I want to hear Your voice, and I want to hear You say to me what You're saying to everybody else. And the first thing that the Lord dealt with me about was, I say this quite often, but the first thing He said to me about me was, you need to stop lying when you're at work. You need to do the job that you were sent there to do. He checked my character. That's the first thing He did when He spoke to me. He didn't come telling me I was going to be great. He didn't tell me any of that. He said, get your character in line. You're at work. You need to work. You say you're going to do something. You need to do it. You need to stop lying, you know, because I was still wrestling with those things. Even though I committed, I wanted to be more like Him, I still hadn't, you know, made the decision to let certain things go. So when the Lord first came to me, that's what He said, and He checked me right where I was. And when I began to preach, the first thing He said to me, said, I'm going to always show up when you take the mic or when you take the stage, whatever it is. I'm going to always show up. So you always make sure that you tell your real testimony. I don't want to hear about a car. I don't want to hear about a house. You tell your real testimony. So from day one, I have been transparent. My first message is a testimony that I have right now. It's all over the world on a DVD where I'm just telling it from A to Z. And it's not a telemony. It's a testimony. See, a telemony is where you're just telling off on your business and the Lord is not getting any glory. But it's a testimony because the power of God hit that room and people were getting delivered. That's when you know God is speaking. So I have to be real, and I need real people to know that we have real issues and real problems, and we have a real God who is real concerned.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. You know, that is just so critical in this day and age, and for people to be real, and God just really calling for realness in this hour. Now concerning your mantle, now we live in an era where we have a lot of rebellious prophets running around. Many feel they don't need to be covered. Now, explain the dangers of prophets, and I know you've ran across this a lot, the dangers of prophets who feel they don't need to be covered.
You know, as I was part of the making of the prophets that we did with Prophet Dwan Robinson, I had the privilege of teaching on the part of making of a prophet of submission and learning how to submit. And one of the things that I found is that Jesus, being God, came here and submitted to being a man. He submitted to Mary as His mother on earth. He was her maker, you know, but He submitted to the oracles that God had set in the earth realm. So if Jesus, being God, can come to the earth realm and submit to a mother that He made, submit to a stepfather that wasn't, you know, His father's God, but submit to Joseph, submit to the rules and the laws of the land, then every prophet needs to understand that there is a natural person that you must submit to. There is an Elijah for every Elisha. And if you skip the Elijah and go straight to the Elisha, you're going to have a double portion of something, but it's not going to be the anointing.
So since you went there, amen, you're talking about Elijah and Elisha. So now, how we distinguish of the Jehazis in this season? Now how do we recognize the Jehazis? You know, because God may assign a Jehazi to you. You know, so how will we distinguish that Jehazi that may walk with you and may not have that same dedication to the things of God as you may have? How do we deal with that?
I believe there's one judge, and, you know, he is the Most High God. So as Jehovah is walking with you, and he still, you know, he still has, as long as there's breath in Jehovah's body, there is an opportunity for him to submit to the call of God. You know, one of the things that I've had the privilege of, I call it a privilege now, is walking with people who have a different mindset, who do want the things of God opposed to having the heart of God, who want the anointing, who want the hoopla, but don't want to go through the process of being made. So I've had those people who will take the gifts over the gift giver, you know. So you may have those people around you, but I believe that if they walk long enough with us, that they'll begin to see that, you know what, the gift giver is better than the gifts. We're in a dispensation of grace opposed to the Old Testament. So there is still an opportunity for Gehazi, you know, to get saved, to get, you know, recommitted, to be drawn back in, you know. But as the Elijah in the group, if you are called to be the Elijah in the group, it is your call to make sure that you check him. You let him know, wait a minute now, just like the prophet, I know where you were. I know about you. There's nothing about you I don't know, because when somebody is really called to you, God reveals things to you about them. He speaks to you about them. There is a prophetic utterance that God gives to you as a spiritual parent, if I can say it like that, as a prophetic parent, if I can say it like that. Again, that the Lord releases those things, those different areas that we need covering in. We need those. So when you have that person walking with you and you are walking in the leadership role, then it is our position to speak life, to believe the best, to check what needs to be checked, to rebuke what needs to be rebuked, but not to cut off. If they walk away, let them walk away. But we have to be careful as leaders as to how we cut off. Because one thing I know is if that thing, that spirit or that person or that Gehazi, as we're referring to it, they will tell on themselves. They will get in a position where the leader don't have to do anything but call it out, and then now the thing that you did not want is the thing that you get, because you saw the things of God over God himself.
Hallelujah. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. We have Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall, author, also prophetess, mouthpiece. Amen. In this era, amen. So definitely we're talking about the mantle at this time, and just a lot of good spiritual wisdom is going forth at this time. So definitely, if you have the opportunity, as the Spirit of God leads, you can just call in, press 1 at a respectable time. So what do you think about, there's a spirit of Miriam that I noticed that's been going forth as well. And when I say spirit of Miriam, you know, in this era, people got a spirit for everything. But we know who's the author of all these things. But in the spirit of Miriam, she cares more about her title. Or he care more about their title, but not necessarily doing the work. Not for necessarily fulfilling the destiny, the calling, the mandate. Doing everything, you know, just voicing a lot of things, but never no authority behind that. And then when things are set in order by the overseer or anybody in their respectable ministries, they have a problem with that. How do you feel about that? Have you seen that particular spirit operative in churches where you go to?
Definitely. I definitely see that one, and that's when, if I could be frank, we refer to that one as the bastard spirit, because they don't want to be fathered. They don't want to be mothered. They want to have it their way. They don't want God to, you know, process. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be corrected, because you can have the call of God, but until you have the nature of God, then you're not able to really change spiritually. You can make me jump in the natural, but it takes the glory of God, which is heavy. The glory of God is, glory is translated as weight. The weight of God crushes everything in me. So if I'm concerned about a title, I have not encountered the glory yet. I'm still seeking after the power. I'm still seeking after the fame. I'm still seeking after the things he's going to make my name great. You know, I'm still thinking about those things. But when you get in the glory of God and allow the weight of God to crush you, you are not concerned about a title. Because, see, the true men and women of God understand that with that title comes a breaking. With that title comes a warfare. With that title comes a mandate. And so we're not just gung-ho about grabbing a hold of a title when we know what comes with that title. So, you know, I definitely encourage those who are concerned about a title, baby, don't worry about a title. If they call you a child of God, you have access to everything that God has released into the earth realm, you know. So get excited about that, and then God will open up for you to be able to walk into many different avenues as it relates to giftings and titles.
Okay, since we're there, why does it seem like those who may have a title that maybe was not assigned to them or maybe was prematurely or wasn't at a particular the right season, why it seems like they're not going through any warfare? Mm. But it seems like those who are really warring in the spirit without a title, they're going, they're getting bust upside the head, as so to say, or the enemy is really waging a war against them. Why does it seem like that on another side?
Mm-hmm. It definitely looks like that because the enemy is not worried about the person that's concerned about the title. The enemy is not worried, or he's not even threatened by the person who's supposed to be walking as a prophet but has decided he's going to be a pastor, a person that's supposed to be a teacher but decided, you know what, I get more famous, I'm going to... The enemy is not concerned because the enemy knows that God is the God of order. And if he can keep us in disorder, then he knows that we'll never be potent. We'll never be able to release the glory that changes people from the inside out. See, the power of God can change my outside, can hit me and cause me to be healed, but the glory makes me whole. And walking in the glory of God means that I have to spiritually be in order with the oracles of God, with the call of God, which means that what God says becomes my mandate. And so that's why it looks like that, because Satan is like, okay, yeah, I got you. You just wreaking havoc in the kingdom of God. You just leading people astray, because there is a spirit that is attached to the person that is out of order. And when somebody is out of order, then they release that spirit into the atmosphere every time they're doing something, every time they're preaching, every time they're singing. They are releasing that spirit into the atmosphere. That's why it is important for those who are connected to God spiritually to set up, you know, to set up, I call it the four corners, to set up the four corners in the atmospheres when there is a word being released spiritually, so that anything that is not like God does not get to the place to where it can affect the people negatively. But that's why it looks like that, because Satan gonna fight the ones who are seeking God's face, the ones who say they'll never have to call my name, but I'll do what you call me to do, the ones who say I'll clean up the bathroom, I'll do whatever you want me to do, because I know that I do for your glory. It's gonna cause me to get into that place where I can affect the lives of others positively. I'm not worried about my name, because you already told me you're gonna make my name great. So if I can continue to lift up your name, then I'll know that my name is connected to your name. So if your name go up, then I'm going up with you.
My God. So why a lot of us in the body of Christ, why are we running away from the process? Why are we running away from the process where the Bible teaches us that this process is what gets or give us that anointing? You know, it helps us to identify with the resurrecting power of Christ. Why we a lot of times run away from that?
I believe, you know, one, we haven't been trained, you know, properly. One of the things that helped me to go through the process was my training. When I, like I said, when I got saved for real this time, after I went running back to the altar to give my life to Christ again, but I really had set up my heart and said, God, I need a Savior. When I got serious about him, I was trained through prayer meetings. I mean, we had prayer meetings at the church where I was at every day. Every day. We didn't have prayer meetings on Tuesday. We had prayer meetings every day. So every day I had to learn to go to the church and pray. We would do shut-ins, consecrations, where we would fast for 3 days and shut in the church for 2 nights and 3 days. That's how I learned how to, you know, hear from God. That's how I learned how to be able to war against the enemy in total victory by going through the process. But we are not being trained. Somebody had to teach me that. I wasn't going to just not eat. No, I'm going to eat every day. I'm not going to fast. What do you mean, read my Bible instead of eating? No, you're crazy. I'm not going to do that. I need somebody to train me and teach me that the process is good. You know, we are in a time now where you got microwave popcorn where you pop it in 2 minutes. Everybody wants the 2-minute answer. Yeah, the 2 minutes may come quick, but it will not last. And we have to be trained, and we have to be taught that the process is going to make sure that what you have is potent and that you will be able to withstand the attack and the difference, just time. Some anointing can't even withstand time. The enemy ain't even studying you, but you can't withstand time because you have not gone through the process. You are ready made and you are quick, but you have not allowed God to process you. But I think we're just afraid to go through the process, and we want it now. We don't want to look crazy. We're not humble. It takes a humility. It takes a humble servant to go through the process, because I don't know about anybody else, but when God took me through the process, it was humble. It was very humbling. You know, borderline humiliating, but it was necessary. because of the pride that rested on me. I needed to go down before I could ever come up. And I think that's what we're missing. We got to go down, baby. You got to go down. If you don't go down on nothing but your knees, when you get on your knees and you really get in the presence of God. See, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm in the presence of God, he talked to me about me. He's not talking to me about my brother, my husband, my children. He's talking to me about me first. He's dealing with me and my issues, the things that I need to clean up first. And then he might spend just a couple of minutes at the end, release a prophetic word to me about somebody else. But he's mostly dealing with me because he knows that if I stay lined up, if I stay in order, if I go through the process, everybody who's up to me going to get the benefit of that.
Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. You're on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. You press 1 at your respectable time. We have Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCauley. She's also an author of a book, for Successful Marriage, excuse me. Amen. And we're just flowing by the Holy Spirit, so definitely kick back. I want to talk to you about your book. You wrote a book on relationships and marriages, and something that the Lord had revealed to me is that a lot of women of God are going through things in this hour, in this season, with a spirit of depression and loneliness. And then it's kind of fused with a lot of tradition and stuff like that. What are some of the things that you notice that have been attacking the sisters in this order? Because just to add on, we notice that when God is taking a woman of God to another level, the enemy will often send a man. So how hey, amen. I'm going to let you go ahead and just, you know, finish that up for us.
You are totally on it because, I mean, you know, when we look at it naturally and realistically, most young girls, from the time that they are able to even talk, by the time they're able to comprehend, they are taught, you know, you're going to get married, you're going to be a wife, you're going to have a husband, you're going to have a man, you're going to have children. So we're trained early. You need to be a lady, you know, you need to say no, you know, you need to, you know, be a virgin, different things that we're taught. And so the enemy knows that that has been ingrained in most of us. So as we are going toward the things of God, he knows the greatest temptation, because our greatest temptation, our greatest desire. Most women want to be married. Most women want a man, and I say most because some, you know, some women in Christ have, you know, I've been married before, and they made a decision that they're not going to go that route again, and God bless them. But most women desire to be with, to have a husband. And so, but the thing about having a husband is it takes your focus completely off of the spiritual things. The Bible reminds us that a single person can really run after God. A single person can really be serious about the things of God, because God is their focus and the spiritual things, and learn, you know, in serving God. But once a woman gets married, she becomes more alert or more attentive to natural things. So, of course, you know, Satan's greatest temptation for a woman of God that is single, that is getting ready to go up or go higher in the things of God, he's going to send a man. But I like to tell all of my counselees, because I've ran into this so many times, that's why I chuckle. I tell them, let me tell you something, baby. Every time God is getting ready to do something in your life, Satan always sends the counterfeit. So when that man comes and he's smelling good and he's doing all the right things, you better look behind that baby and make sure that he's connected. His connection to God has not been severed, because all of those things may be good to the eyes and to the flesh, but you went to where you're going in God, when he's elevating you, you need somebody connected to God. So the counterfeit always comes, and so I think we're just, our ladies just have not been enlightened to the fact that that's one of the things that Satan tests us with when we're getting ready to go up in the things of God. He sends us a man just the way we like him, boxed up just the way, but it's an empty box, baby. Nobody ever been excited about an empty box. And so we hold out. And we hold out that God will send us the box. It may not look like what it is that our flesh desires, but inside that box, baby, going to be everything you need to sustain you for the things of God.
Amen. And it's so key, because one thing I was studying and just the Lord just had kind of spoken my spirit is that if a woman wants to be, if she wants a good man, you first have to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. You have to be a good thing to attract a good man. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a good thing, then when you don't have a good man before you, when you don't have a good man before you, you ain't going to be able to recognize it. But you know, see, in counterfeit money, they study the real in order to recognize the fake. So if you are authentic, if you are good, if you are real, you can identify a real man when you're in the presence of one, when you're in the presence of one. So why is it? And I talked to a sister today, and I said, well, sister, I said, well, you know what a real man of God is. She said, I know, but I just wanted a man who would complete me, who would complete me. And so many sisters are looking for a man, but they're coming down off of the mountain and settling for beneath what God expects them to have. Now, what are some dangers of that?
Oh my gosh! I mean, I talk about that in detail in the book because I was one of those women. I wanted my husband to complete me. I wanted him to make me whole, and that's the wrongest, if I can just say that like that, the wrongest attitude to have when going into marriage, because God is the only one who can complete me. God is the only one who can make me whole. One of the things I talk about in the book is, you know, when we're single, we're saying things like, oh, I need me a man that can do this. I need me a man that can take care of me. I need me a woman that can cook. And I just question them. I say, well, what do you bring to the table? You need to make sure that you are an asset opposed to a liability when it comes to a marriage or a relationship. And so it's very important that we assess our worth in God, because my worth in God can only be accented. You can only bring, those things that you can only compliment. You can't complete me. You can only compliment what God has already done. And so when a woman allows God to make her whole and she allows God to deal with all of those emotional issues and all of those soul ties and all of those old fairy tale beliefs that we so easily bring into our marriages, then we will see that the greatest gift that God gives us is making us whole and loving us for. That way, I love me. Can I say it like this? You realize that God loves you. That's what you do. You realize that God loves you. Then you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, then you can't love your spouse. So it's like God loves me, and then God loves me. I realize that God loves me, then I love me. I love God, God loves me, then I love me. Because the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, why would God say love my neighbor as myself? I mean, that's kind of selfish. I need to love myself first. Yes, because when you love yourself and you understand your worth, then you see things through the eyes of worthiness. You see people through the eyes of the way that you see yourself. So if you have allowed God to show you how wonderful you are, how beautiful you are, how whole you are in him, then when you look at other people, you'll be able to see that same life and that same availability for them to walk in that as well. So, you know, I could talk about that all day, but, you know, for the sake of time,
hallelujah.
We need the Lord to make us whole.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416, your Mantle of God Empowerment Program. The callers, I know y'all being blessed right now by the doctor, amen. And she's no Nicodemus. Let's make that clear. She's not no Nicodemus, amen, but she is a doctor in the things of God. I want to ask you, explain the birthing process. I've known you birthed out men, and the Holy Ghost revealed that to me, that you birth out men. And then I normally call Prophet Dewan, I normally call her a mother of mothers. And then I said, okay. I said, and then the Holy Ghost said, okay, well, she's a MOM as well. I said, what's that mean? She's a mother of men. I said, okay. So explain the birthing of men. Just take us through that, what God has allowed you to do in this dispensation.
Well, if I'll start from the womb, because of course that's where everything starts. And for me, being a woman of prayer, my life is prayer. You know, like I said, when I first came to God, I did prayer meetings every day. I was serious about prayer. I woke up every morning. I've always had a prayer space. I went from a prayer closet to a prayer room, and in my next house, I'm gonna have a prayer level. You know, just where we just lay out, you know, for the things of God. So prayer is my life. I tell people all the time. Y'all get excited about me preaching. Y'all get excited about me prophesying. Y'all get excited about me singing. But I get excited about me praying, because praying, communicating with God is my lifeline. And because God can trust me with a womb of prayer, he has allowed me to be able to birth men out spiritually, to be able to speak into their lives, to be able to speak life to them, to be able to show them, you know what, you may have gone through this, but what you did is not an indication of who you are. You know, your past does not dictate your destiny, but you're going to go forth and do the things that God has called you to do. He's given me that mothering, and the mothering comes really for me as in being submissive. When I go into a room, I'm submissive to whoever is in charge of the room. I don't, you know, I'm not concerned about my doctor. I'm not concerned about my product, all those different things and all the gifts that God has given me. When I go into a room, I am one of the first ones to submit to the person that God has placed in that room. And I believe that that is one of the keys to God being able to trust me, because if you've been around women who are not submissive, they cut men into pieces. By the time they finish preaching, every man in there is a lying dog. You know, you can't birth nothing with that in your spirit. You can't even see the trueness of the man beyond what he did or who he was or what his past looks like until God can trust you with the womb of prayer. So I pray him out, pray him through. I mean, it's just been amazing for God to drop a prayer in my spirit, and then I call or I forward it because I got so much going on. I'll stop right then. I'll do a voice recording. I'll pray that prayer for that man of God, bishops, apostles, you know, CEOs, you know, whomever God has given me the favor with. Release that prayer, and the next thing you know, they've called me crying before, they've called me weeping, they sent me texts, just thank you, you own it, and that comes from God being able to trust my spiritual womb, which is giving the prayer.
My Lord, you quickened me just now. You said something, and it goes back to what you said earlier about the divine nature. So how do we tie that divine nature in to the oneness of God that he calls us to be in with him in prayer, that intimacy, the divine nature of having that divine nature of God and becoming one with him? Jesus said, I am one with the Father, and me and my Father are one.
Yeah.
So how do we get to that level in prayer? How do we get, and I know you know all about this, how do we get to that level in prayer to experience that oneness of God, where God said, I will reveal the secret things that I'm willing to share with you, that secretness that I'm willing, because you're close to me now, and I can just whisper them to you and you can hear.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! One of the things that I did was I love to read, so it's a little bit easier for me. But I went and I got all the books of old, the Smith Wigglesworth, the R. A. Torrey's, the people of old that would be in prayer meetings for days. Smith Wigglesworth would lock up in his house and not allow anybody to bring him the newspaper. He didn't want to hear the world's report of what was going on. He only wanted to hear God's report. And this man of God, I mean, he talking about healings. I mean, just the different power that God used, the glory that God used in it. So I went to study those of old. I studied the ones that would pray. What did they say about prayer? And I began to seek God. But the greatest gift or the greatest revelation that I received is that God is a spirit. And it takes time for us to get from that place in the natural into a place in the spirit to where we can really tap into our divine self. So, you know, we don't take the time that we need to pray. You know, it's going to take longer than your 10 minutes. You're going to have to set time to say, God, I'm not leaving this room until we connect. And the more you establish that connection, the more you do it, the more time you spend in prayer, then the easier it comes. You can be in a grocery store and it be quicker than 5 minutes and you are just sitting in the line and people are looking at you and you smiling because you just tapped into the divinity of God and he just released something into your spirit. And I believe that's why the prophetic words are off, because we are tapped into what somebody else said. We are tapping into the natural realm. We're talking into the fleshly realm, and that's why you hear a lot of parents. They're repeating what they've heard in the natural, but when God quickens something in your spirit and he releases it to your divine self, then it is a rhema that is based on the local that is life-changing for the person you are speaking it to.
Hallelujah. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. I heard somebody say, hey, look, we heard the number a couple of times. Just keep talking. Hey, man, I'm going to say it again. 347-945-5416. We got got Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall on, amen. Woman of God, amen. The prophet of God, amen. Tell us about your book. How many pages is in your book? How long did it take you to write this book?
Oh, wow. The book is, I think the book's over 200 pages. It references over 200 scriptures. Because if you're going to say that a Bible is, I mean, that a book is a God's way, then the Bible is God's way. So I was very careful to reference scriptures, to not take them out of context, to keep them. One of the things that I've learned, you know, about, you know, when you release the scriptures, even when you're doing a manuscript, is you want to keep the verse before, the verse after. You want to make sure that you keep, you know, the scripture in context. And if you are releasing a revelation, which I do throughout the book, I make sure that you understand that this is me releasing a revelation to you. This is the scripture, and this is what I believe God was revealing to me from the scripture, you know, which does not make it law. You know, it makes it something that he's revealed for me to be released into that time. But the book itself took me, I started the book years ago as a thesis for my master's. And so originally the book started out as an outline. It was my thesis, and, of course, I did really good in my master's program. And so and it's funny because as I was preparing my thesis, my husband and I were typing up the thesis. And so it was just funny that, you know, we'd be on marriage, and then a couple years later we have the book, he would be doing the foreword, and we'd be going through the process of the book together. But understanding having a successful marriage, God's way, requires us to know God's way. And so I did my very best to reflect his way through his word so that we can have a better foundation and understanding of a successful marriage, God's way.
Amen, amen. So talking about marriage, amen, why is it that a lot of couples are not refraining? They're spending so much time, help me, Holy Ghost, spending so much time on the physical. They're spending so much time on the physical ministering to one another and less time refraining. All right, let's give ourselves to fasting and prayer. Let's remember why we made this covenant, that it was all about ministering. And let's take time and hear what God is saying. Why does the enemy keeps a lot of our couples busy in the physical and just really not tapping in to the depths of spiritual? Because we know that as time goes on in a relationship, you know, you get comfortable. So some folks, you know, you get comfortable. And I believe that was God's way of saying, all right, y'all refrain from one another so that comfortability won't set in. So how do we set that right?
That's definitely a key to any relationship is, you know, taking the time to make sure that we keep God first. And you're right. That's one of the temptations that the enemy works marriages. I mean, because you got to pay the bills, you know, you got the kids when you have children, you have the job, you know, you have your church duty. You have so many things naturally that's pulling you that it's not always easy to connect to one another spiritually, to be on that plane that you're supposed to be in, to be in that vein that you're supposed to be in with God where you're communing with him every day. So the temptation is there, and Satan is good at what he does. But I believe that as God is really allowing us to see just the enemy's face, and just to see how the enemy wants to pervert marriage, that a lot of couples are looking at themselves and saying, do I look like the world or do I look like the word? And the thing that happens is when they realize that they look like the world, they don't know how to get to the word. And that's why I believe couple mentors and the books, the different books that are out there are really helpful to help couples to get from, I know where I am, I know what I'm doing wrong, but knowing is just the beginning of the process. What do I do now? Because, you know, moving from a worldly mindset takes time to move into a word mindset. Just takes a commitment. But, you know, we have to be trained, and we need somebody to help us. We need to see a healthy couple. We need to see what that's like. We need to know, you know, fasting is a part of our being together, that we didn't say if you fast, but he said when you fast. Because he knows we're going to need to fast, because life is going to beat us up and you try to break us down. And spiritually we need to be strong, and fasting strengthens us and strengthens our ability to hear God. So I think that the enemy is just on his job and, you know, making sure that we keep our minds off of the spiritual things and be bombarded every day with natural things. And it's really, you know, breaking down the fibers of marriages. That's why we're seeing a lot of divorce, because the enemy is working so hard to turn our minds away from what God said. If God said it is very good, then even though I'm going through something that feels very bad, if God said very good, then very bad is going to have to produce very good, because he is God. He That's right. You know, we need to be spiritually strong to realize that when we're going through. And I think that's where we're lacking. You know, we don't have that stability as far as in that training and that consistency in marital training so that, you know, couples can know. You know, you may be going through, but that does not mean God is not for your marriage. Come on, we all go through. Mm-hmm. I go through every day. Does that mean God wants me to stop breathing? No, I'm alive. He wants me to thrive, but I'd have to go through what I'm going through because evidently it's going to get me to a better place.
Mm. Amen. I'm gonna tread carefully as I ask this next question. Amen. But I'm gonna ask it. Amen. All right, for the women of God, can you possibly I don't use this word, but you know many use this word, sexy and sanctified. Now, can you possibly be sexy and sanctified at the same time? You know. Just take me through the process, and let me clarify this for the listeners. A sister gets saved, and, you know, she dresses according to the standard of the world. And now she comes to the things of God, and how she might say, well, why I need to change the way I dress? I'm cute. I'm fly. Why do I need to change who I am? Because that's how my church is. That's them. That ain't me. So. Why would she have to change? And just give it, just break it down to a woman of God who may be listening. Why, as a kingdom woman, making a transformation from one kingdom of darkness to another kingdom?
Well, we know that one of the tools that Satan uses in the world is the provocative dressing. We know that that's one of his major temptations, especially for men. Is a man of God, a young man, you know, trying to sustain themselves, but men are sight stimulated. So a man was made sight stimulated by God. So it's something that was positive, but Satan, of course, takes everything that God made good and tries to make it evil, of course, or he comes up with his rendition of it. So what Satan is, you know, does, we don't realize it because it took me a while to realize it, is that he uses us as bait. He uses us to make men feel guilty. So, you know, if a woman is saying, why do I have to dress a certain kind of way? Well, it's called reverence, sweetheart. If you reverence God as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then you don't want to go to him dressed any kind of way. When I went to the club, it's not appropriate. I shouldn't be in the club, but definitely when I went to the club, it's not appropriate to wear to the house of God. But I believe that reverence has been lost. I believe what happened was people say, oh, church clothes and church hats, and you don't need to dress up like that. Well, you know, we don't need to put so much emphasis on the clothes, but my clothes is an indication of my soul. My choices, what I put on my body is an indication of whether my soul is sick. If my soul is sick, then I'm going to dress a certain kind of way, and it's not going to be godly. My intentions are going to be off. Because right now, if I get up to preach and I have on a mini skirt and I have on some, what are those? Oh, gosh, from fishnets. A minister and a halter top, then what is my goal? My goal is for you to pay attention to me, for you to look at me, and it takes the focus off of God. And so I think, you know, and a lot of times I think there's a double standard, and I'm going to go here with this. The men dress up in suits. You know, the men's dressed up in suits, but there's no standard for the ladies. Oh, no, not on my watch. There is a standard for the ladies. No, baby, you don't have to wear your mama church hat, but you do need to cover up. The pastor don't need to be looking out in the service and you sitting there gapping there because, you know, let me clean it up because y'all going to take me. I'm trying to stay doctor here, you know, but I've seen the struggles of the men. The struggles of the men, because I've been called the mother men, I'm more firm and more harsh, and I won't say harsh, but hard on the women because, look, you have a choice to make. If you really love me, because I told him this, if you love me, you come and you say you love me, then why must you dress to tempt my husband? If you love me, sister, you say you love me, you say you love your sisters, then why must you come in the dress mode to tempt him, knowing that he is sight stimulated, you know? So there's a lot of stuff going on, but one of the things we got to pay attention to is the soul. And I know we say come as you are, but can I put the side mode, baby, don't stay
come
as you are. Come as you are, but don't stay as you are, because you can't stay in the presence of God and not be changed. You not be changed from the inside out. So, you know, it's a lot there. You know, we can't stay there too long. But my prayer is that women will get a respect again for themselves. that we will not, you know, because and the older women are grabbing a hold of it too. So you'll see a 60-year-old woman with a miniskirt on, and I'm like, baby, my God, we are the mothers in Zion. We are the mothers in Zion. Can you pray for me with that skirt on, baby? You're going to have to tell her with me. Somebody's going to have to put a sheet on you too, you know. So I believe that God has a remnant of mothers who are saying, you know what, I like my gray hair. You know what, I like the wisdom that God has given me. I don't need to look 20. I'm 50. I'm 60. I'm 70. And I don't need to look like a young lady. I'm an older woman. I'm a mature woman, and I don't mind looking like it. So I believe God has a remnant of mothers in Zion who will, you know, walk that out in that manner.
Amen, because I remember just, you know, because I've been saved about almost 15 years. Well, when I got saved the first time, you know, when you had that first initial, and then you know, the world come calling, and it's like, you know, the enemy said, you know what you missing out there? Then you go back, and then the Lord said, then I told you not to go back out there. He's like, okay, I'm saved for real now. But I remember, like, praying women of God, like, they ain't had no titles. They were just the mothers of the church. You know, you come in with something on out of order, they'd be the first one come up to you. Forget the ushers. They come out the aisle on you, and they would just, especially in holiness churches, they would definitely do that. They would run up on you. And I remember women of God who were just women of prayer and just had a strong discernment. Had a very strong discernment and prayer life, amen. And I remember just an occasion when I was at I believe it was Mother Jameson, amen. God bless you, Mother Jameson, if you're listening. And I was watching G.E. Patterson, and I remember I had a big cross on, you know, because I was doing, you know, music many years ago as an artist. And I had the chain down the middle of my chest, and we was watching G.E. Patterson, and the Holy Ghost fell on her, and she snatched the thing clean off my neck and put it in the garbage can. I was like, I paid a little chain for that, Mama. But, you know, Holy Ghost said, you better not say nothing to her. I just got on my face, amen, and I just, you know, I got on my face. I still think about that chain from time to time, but amen. But it's women like that. It's women like that, amen, that held the standard, and it's like you say, we have a lot of that that's kind of missing in this age. So as shifting gears from that, how us men, how we take our rightful place in all of this? How we take our rightful place in all of that? What needs to happen? What do we need to do? How we resetting the order. We know all about that. How do we do that?
Well, the project I'm working on now is titled "I Am That Man," becoming the great man you already are, and just realizing that you are that man. You're the man that God released you in the earth realm to be. You have not been renamed unless you allowed yourself to be renamed. When God releases us into the earth realm, he releases us with purpose. He releases us with everything that we need to fulfill that purpose. But because the enemy is cunning, he worked early in our lives to change our name, to change our nature, to make us believe that we don't have that power, that Adamic power of dominion that God has given us. And so I encourage men all the time, remember who you are. Remember the purpose that God released you with. Remember that you have dominion. And sometimes I think in the body of Christ, some of our men feel like they are not preaching. They're not successful in the things of God unless they are preaching with a mic in their hand, with a church under their belt, with a title under front of their name. But if God called you to be an artist, or God called you to be a marketing person, or God called you to whatever it is that God called you to do in the earth realm, to exude his glory in that realm, then you got to walk that out. And if you are successful, because sometimes you can be in the workplace and lead more people to Christ than the people with the titles. You got to know who you are. You know what I mean? So if you're called to music, you may not ever get up and preach. You may not be titled a preacher, but you are a preach, because your life will always preach the gospel of Christ, whether you have a mic or a crowd or not. And so getting men to understand that you have been created in the image of God. You have a dominion. You are Adam, baby. You have been formulated after the second Adam, which means that you have been given victory over the flesh, victory over sin, victory over everything that would try to deny you. When you understand that, then it invokes passion in you, because when you know your purpose and you know that God has released leads you with purpose, then it invokes passion in you, and you're serious. You're almost dogmatic about what it is that God has called you to do. You won't let anybody dictate who you are when you know who you are in God, because my past does not dictate my destiny. And that's one of the things that I've encountered with men, is that the enemy keeps them in guilt mode about what they did or who they were. And as soon as a man begins to move toward the things of God, some woman he hurt 20 years ago pops up, and all of a sudden he's a nasty dog, and she has to remind him. That's the enemy trying to remind him of who he was. But when I'm encouraging a man of God, I said, let him give you that free advertisement, because who you are is not who you were, and you're going to have those reminders to help you remember that God is the one that is keeping you. But once you move in that passion, then you'll be able to perform. See, the thing that I've learned is that we're trying to perform what God needs to perform in us. The Bible says he will perform, Philippians 1 and 6, he will perform the work in us until the day of Christ Jesus. And so when God is performing through a man of God, and he's walking in the Adam anointing, and he's walking in that divine dominion, then God will make sure that the doors open for him that need to open, the support comes, that the people around him, because, you know, you might have a Judas, but baby, don't kill your Judas, because Judas going to open the door for you to come forth in all power. And so being connected to God is going to be very important, and of course, God will perfect those things concerning us, and so we have to go through the process. I got them peas going on because I'm the pea lady, but God will perfect those things concerning us. And so, you know, I could go on about me, and I get like, I'm real passionate about that, so I'm going to definitely be quiet right now. Hallelujah.
We got about 15 more minutes. You still have time to get your questions in, amen, or either call in, amen. You're not calling in, so that's a good thing. That means y'all listening, so that means I'm doing my job, amen. Praise God. So I want to ask you, we have some men of God that are listening, amen. And so how important is you finding the right woman of God to the transfer of the anointing? How, a lot of people do not understand that marriage is ministry, and marriage is a dimension within itself.
Yeah.
It's a dimension within itself. So how is it important for a man of God, because I know you can answer this because that's your assignment to the men, as far as choosing a woman of God, when you have an anointed man of God, how important it is to have an anointed vessel? And just break it down, like if you have somebody that's maybe like just got saved, and then to parallel that to somebody who may be mature, say they're preaching the gospel. So kind of like make that distinction between the two.
Okay, it's very important definitely for a man to be connected and married or to a woman of God that can push them, that can support them, that can submit to them. One of the things that I find is when I'm counseling single men is that, you know, a lot of the wrong women are throwing themselves after them, so they're bombarded, you know, daily with the ladies who see them as a good thing, you know, but are not willing to be the good thing, are not willing to make the commitment. So a man must, you know, best make sure that he's in a place of discernment, because he is sight stimulated, you know, and we do know that a nice looking woman, you know, can cause a man's mind to go somewhere where he didn't really necessarily intend it to go, until he can get his mind to the place where he's like Job, where Job said, I train my eyes, you know, not to lust after another woman besides my wife.
Yeah.
So in this instance, a man of God seeking for a wife, he must be in a place to where he has trained. First of all, he needs to train his eyes before he gets married. Because after he gets married,
right,
you don't train your eyes, baby, your pattern. See, we are people of pattern, and sometimes Satan really trip us up. We say, when I get married, I'm going to do this. No, can I tell you that's not true? We are a people of pattern. What you're doing now is what you're going to do when you get married. And so when men of God prepare themselves for marriage, then they are able to discern between those who have a prayer life and those who don't. Because she may not be as far along in the things of God that he may desire, but him being a man of God, if he get one that is committed to God, then he can train her up and show her how to grow in the things of God, opposed to somebody who's not even willing to be trained, who's but won't allow God to deal with her. And she's cute on the outside, but won't allow God God to make a pure on the inside. So I think it's very important for men of God to be sensitive and attentive to the seed. I like to say that. I usually use it for men, but it's also for the women, you know, because God could give you a wife in seed form. She may not be, you may not see the tree. Now, it's an acorn. You may not see the oak tree that she's going to become, the tree of prayer, the tree of support, the tree that you need. But if you, being in God, can train her and release into her and support her and cover her and speak life to her and pray with her, then you can groom her and grow her into the woman of God that you desire. So it's important, you know, that, you know, men of God, as they're seeking for their wives, that they pay attention to where they are spiritually, but where they are in the position to where they're willing to be trained, they're willing to be taught, they're willing to be submissive, you know, because that's a whole other mindset when dealing with a woman who's been single. So sometimes we bring that single mindset into the marriage, and it's not going to work. Because now that you are a wife, that means that you are submitted. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord in all things. So, you know, that means natural things, you're going to have to submit to him. And spiritually, he's your leader. You're going to have to follow him. So there's a whole bunch of different mechanics when it comes to moving forward in marriage. But just keeping God first and having that spirit of discernment, shocking, is what is going to preserve and make sure that we that men of God choose accordingly.
Okay, we got about 10 minutes, about 10 minutes left. Brothers, I'm trying to help you out tonight, amen. So as far as the man of God, when he is looking for a wife, it's best not to go after the flesh. We know that. What are some of the deceptions that you find that a lot of men of God, a lot of preachers, are falling victim to in this hour as far as a woman, the counterfeit, as we had discussed earlier?
Well, I won't say I'm finding a lot, because I'll be nice tonight, but I'm finding quite a bit of men who are not secure within themselves. And when you're not secure within yourselves, you marry, you know, on that level. When you're secure within yourselves, you will marry the woman that God shows to you, or God releases to you, or the woman you see that has a strong spiritual life. Some men are intimidated by women who have strong spiritual lives, but if you are going, you know, to be effective in the kingdom, you need a woman that's strong spiritually, that's strong prayerfully, that's willing to submit. And I believe that sometimes, you know, not all men, just some men, when they're not, you know, comfortable, sometimes they've been just had a wrong view of women in the church, you know. So once you have a woman just act plumb full with the mic, you just have a bad taste in your mouth, and you're like, I don't ever want a woman preacher. I am not going, you know. And so then they've been, you know, encountered these experiences with women who haven't submitted, who are charismatic but not anointed, you know, who can make the crowd jump with all of that screaming, but can't impart into the crowd so that they can withstand the trials in the midnight hour. And so there's a lot of different mechanics going on, you know, but I would speak life to men, and I would say trust the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You know, if there's a woman in your path and there's a lady that you're looking at, or there's a woman that you're not even looking at, and God reveals her or shines a light upon her and she looks a certain way, just take the time to pay attention to what God is showing you spiritually about her. So, because that may be definitely be the one that pushes you, encourage you, because most men, and I'll say this, most men in ministry, they really want a wife to serve them. That's what I've encountered. The men that I've been encountered with, I'm not saying that's all men, but a lot of the men that I've encountered, they want a wife that's going to serve them, because after they finish pouring out, you know, they want to come home and why is he taking care of home? They don't want to come home and why is he talking, all right, you home, but now I'm going to preach. I got to preach down the road, and my house messed up, and my dishes ain't clean, and my children looking crazy, but I got to go down here and preach. No, they want a woman that's submitted to taking care of their home. And one of the things that God said to me, he said, as you take care of your husband is as I will release you into the things of God. So you're not going to come to my house until you take care of your house. That's what he said to me. You're not going to submit to your pastor and think I'm gonna wink at you and it's going to be cute, and you can't submit to your husband. And so we have to learn as women – of God, that if you cannot submit to what the word of God and what God has called us to submit to, because submission is not a bad word, woman of God. Let me tell you that right now. Submission gets you in the line and in the word of God to where he can fight your battles, to where he can make sure that the doors are open for you and that you don't have to do it yourself. So, men of God, I'm praying now. I'm praying for you. I'm encouraging you. I know that there's greatness and goodness on the inside. There's purpose in you. And I know that some of you single men, you know you need a strong wife, a woman that is secure, a woman that's not going to be fussing at you every time because you were talking to this sister or that sister, but a woman that is secure and know that, you know what, this is my husband, this is my man, and I know that he is committed to me, you know, so that's a lot of things. I'm praying for y'all because, you know, it's a little difficult to find her, but I know that she's out there, and I know that God has the perfect wife for those who are really seeking to advance his kingdom.
Amen, amen. All right, as we get ready to close in a few minutes, where your church in at? Where is your church located at? I know the listeners, they want to know and how to get in contact with you to book you for any events, amen. I know we're definitely going to get you down in the Carolinas, amen. So those who are listening in the Carolina areas, amen, be on the lookout for the men's and women's conference that's coming up, amen. So let them know how to get in contact with you.
Okay, I have two websites. My first one is, if you want to order the book, that one is going to be I Speak Success, www.ispeaksuccess.com, and that's for those of you who want to order the book. And then if you want to get in contact with me, my website is www.ispeaklifetoyou, and that's the number 2 and the letter U, ispeaklifetoyou.com, and you can get my information on there. My phone number is on there. My email address is on there. You can submit a form. You can order products from there. I have many different products, CDs, DVDs, prayer journals, teachings, different things of that nature. But that's definitely going to be a way that you can get in contact with me. And if you want to email me, you can email me at ispeaklife@yahoo.com. Again, that's ispeaklife@yahoo.com. And I definitely look forward to hearing from you at any given time.
Amen, amen. So, woman of God, any lasting words, and I want you to pray us out as well. You can just have the floor at this time and just release anything that God wants, has on your heart, or even a word that God has just put into your spirit concerning right now in this season and to the people that are listening around the world and via internet.
I just want to encourage the people of God to trust Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, to trust that you are a vessel of honor, to trust that God wants to use you to speak his word, to speak life, to encourage the people, to draw people to Christ, to lead people to Christ, that you are a chosen vessel. I just want to encourage you that we are a prophetic people, and if we are a prophetic people, that means that we hear what God is saying, and we repeat what he has said to us. And so I just want to encourage you to trust the God on the inside of you, to walk in the dominion that God has called you to walk in. I declare and decree that there's going to be a new wave of glory that's going to hit your life and change you from the inside out. Declare and decree that there are going to be open doors for you, that as you seek first the kingdom of God and as you commit to God, that God is going to show forth to you that he is who he said he is. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every word that has been released on this on the radio tonight. God, you are an awesome God. We thank you, Lord, for even the airways of the people who are listening, God. We thank you, Lord, that the airways of their life, the atmosphere of their life, the four corners of their lives, God, is changing even now, God, that it is coming into alignment with your word, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we speak life, we pray life, we declare that they will never be the same again. We bind anything that will come against purpose. No weapon formed against their purpose shall prosper, that they will walk in the things of God like never before, God. And we thank you that they are a spiritual people, a divine people, that but that which they are called to do, they will do with ease and successfully, God. We declare success in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pray and we come in agreement with heaven tonight, that as it is in heaven, so it is in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us of our sins. We fall short daily, but our desire is to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, saints of the Most High God, kings and queens, kings and priests, amen. Yeah, just now listen to, amen, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program with our special guest, amen, Dr. Yaquanda Payne McCall. Make sure you go and get her book, amen, The Keys for Successful Marriage, amen. Definitely get that book and also go to her website and definitely check out all the products that you get your hands on. And get your prayer journal. You need that, amen. Write down what God is saying to you in this hour. God bless you. We will see you on Saturday night, amen, for the priesthood program.